Good evening, everybody, and welcome, welcome, welcome. We are back with our season finale here in our podcast room. This is Pastor Avery Wiles. We're broadcasting live from our podcast room, man, and we're so excited. Man, CJ, man, we've come a long way, man, from the first one. CJ is the executive producer. We call him executive producer.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
Him and Tony and the team, man, we're so happy to be doing this, and we've been getting a lot of incredible testimonies about these podcast series. The last one we did about the necessity of a father, and man, that was so awesome and powerful because we talked about it from a woman's perspective, how a father impacts a woman and the things that women go through when a father's not present. And the testimonies we were getting in the podcast and then after the podcast, we got one where somebody said that, I'm just going to go get my relationship right with my father. And that was just a beautiful thing. So if you're watching right now, we want you to like and share because we're this is a different perspective, right? We are talking about real issues and we want people to be able to be helped through the conversations that we're having. So tonight we're talking about blended families. So if you know anybody that has a blended family, we know that's a dynamic in the family that takes place. Still talking also from the perspective of father, but also taking into account all the perspectives that people have that go into those. So like and share. You can follow us at any point on our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all that jazz, Grace Community Church North Dallas, all of the handles, the social media handles. But we're so grateful that you're watching tonight, and make sure you tag somebody. Look, I've got some incredible people around the table. I'll introduce them in just a minute, but we want to take the time. If you've been following Grace Community Church North Dallas, you know we're gearing up for our Collide 2021
Absolutely.
Conference.
Yes.
Man, this is a conference not like no other. And last week, we were in revival with Bishop Brandon Jacobs.
Yes.
Man, we had an awesome time. And the service, we did registration. We're still practicing social distancing and COVID. For those of you that are going to come after me saying, why are we still having church during COVID? My thing is, you go to Walmart, you go to the mall, so we go to church with our masks on, we wash our hands,
everybody's having church,
so get over it now, we love the Lord. We maxed out on our capacity. We did half the capacity of the building, and we maxed out, and people were still wanting to get in, but what a great time. What did y'all think about revival last week, those of you that are here?
Oh my God.
Much needed.
Yes,
it was. Amazing.
Oh man, so look, that was pre-Collide, so pre-Collide, if is any indication of what's going to happen in Collide, so September the 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Yes.
Man, we're going to be at the Hyatt Regency. We have to add a location so we can make sure we have enough room. But our main speakers are on the screen right now, and we have several other speakers and breakout sessions that are coming up. Lady K, you're chairing this thing because I can't do it. Got construction going on here at the church. So you want to tell us a little bit about Collide and what's your thoughts on it?
Collide 2021, a conference for the entire family. So that's where Pastor wanted. Normally, let me start this way. Normally, the women, the men, the children and youth all have their own separate conferences. They all have their separate things. And he said, what if we collide and come together? Right. But then we can also have our separate conferences all at the same time. So the men and theirs, the women, the youth, the children, but under one roof. And this year we're going to have it, as they already saw. We're going to have Pastor John Hanna, Evangelist Vandalyn Kennedy, Bishop Linwood Dillard, Evangelist Donna Gordon, Pastor Warren Milson, Gerard and Javon Woods, Emmanuel Heath.
Yes.
Goodness, it's so many people. I'm trying to remember who. And then I have more than just a seat, which is for First Ladies only. So if you are a First Lady and you're listening in, you're watching, or you know someone who is, we're going to be having an intimate, private, closed session just for pastor's wives, senior pastor's wives, because that role is more than just a seat.
I want to encourage people, if you know a First Lady or you need your First Lady, the First Ladies go through a lot and they need conversations big time. So this is a conversation you don't want to miss, First Lady. So
look, I have 6 seats left in that class.
6 seats left.
That's
so you need to grab it.
They
you need
slammed
to
it
grab
the first
it.
2 days.
You need to grab it. You need to grab it. Yeah, I cut you off. Keep going.
No. That was fine. I like the interaction. But I have more than just a seat. Like I said, that's not going to be live streamed, yeah. any of that, yeah. because I want us to be able to talk about the things that really matter to us, matters of the heart, yes. without it being broadcast right. or snippets taken or right. sound bites or anything like that. So it's going to really be an amazing time. We have Ashley Gibson, who's going to be over our Collide Children. We have our own Minister Alton Phillips, who's going to be over our Collide Youth. So we know they're going to have an amazing time. Yeah. They're taking over the Saturday night of the conference with Pastor Phil Galindo from Potter's House North Dallas campus. And so we're just excited. It's going to be an amazing time. There are not many people who are going
to
miss it.
Right. So look, if you need to register, registration is going real fast. All access is going really fast soon. I project that we won't have any room for all access and
probably
everything will be.
I say probably by the end of Sunday, all access will probably be gone. It's not
absolutely,
that many seats.
Absolutely, not many seats. So you need to make sure you grab all access. And if you can't, General is still there. But just know that at a certain point, we're going to be cutting off registration.
Absolutely. If you need a sponsor, we do have sponsorships available.
Good.
So just email collide at gccnd. Also, if you want to be a sponsor and help someone else come, you can do that as well. And we just opened it to vendors on yesterday. So if you have a company, a business, or organization that you want to promote, email us at collide@gccnd.org.
And I'm excited. I'm excited.
Don't shut the Hyatt Regency down.
Shut the Hyatt Regency down. You can look at more information at gccnd.org. We're waiting to see you. So, look, let's dive in tonight. Blended Families. Look, we've got our first lady, my beautiful wife here. We've got CJ Williams, our men's department leader.
What's going on?
And look, we've got our audience out there, but I want to allow these individuals to introduce themselves because they are amazing people, but they come with credentials. So we're not just talking about stuff off the top of the head, but we've got some professionals at the table with us. So I want to lead off with our very own Dr.
Bethany Evans.
Yay! Share with them your credentials.
So I'm a licensed clinical psychologist in the state of Texas. I've been practicing in my field for almost 10 years now. So
wow. Yeah. We're so proud of you.
Thank you.
And the mother of our soon-coming little girl.
Yes! They just announced it. Oh, we're so happy for them.
Guess we'll name her Linzetta.
And our special guest here, man.
Yes.
Hello. Thanks for having me. My name is Dr. Dewan Bennett. I am a licensed professional counselor. I have a PhD in clinical psychology as well.
Wonderful.
And I provide mental health services in my private practice in North Dallas.
Man, we're so glad to have you. So look, you need to share. This is not just a pastor and people at the church talking. We've got people that got some real, real credentials here, and they'll give us strategy and probably correct us on some of our thinking,
doctors.
Too. So we're looking forward
to that. Yes.
You know, so this has been a topic that we've been trying to get to for the last few podcasts, right? And we've not been able to get to it because the conversations have been so rich. And we thought that as we transition into this particular piece, now that we're there, it was good for us to have some professional help at the table with us so that we can be able to really have a really rich conversation. So blended dynamics are pretty much families coming together in many different situations, right? And we know those situations. So one of the things that we have not gotten to was around how to ensure that families or parents are ensuring the same amount of love for the actual children and then the stepchildren as well, because we've heard, and even in us counseling with people, we've heard that that can be a breakdown in many different ways. So the question I would have is, and anybody can take this if you had experience with it, you know, what are the effects of not demonstrating the same amount of love to all children in the household, and what can be the risk factors if not? Those things not taking place. So I'll throw it to anybody at the table that want to talk about it.
I say distance and resentment.
Distance and
it
resentment.
It causes a lot of distance from a child's standpoint to the parent.
Yeah.
And resentment. You know, they begin to resent the new child or the newcomer to the family. Basically want to distance themselves from that person.
Wow.
So it can have a long-lasting effects.
Wow. Doctors.
There's a lot of dynamics about a blended family that You know, when people think of a blended family, they think of just stepchildren. And that's not always the case. Sometimes your family can be blended because you have a niece or nephew that you brought into the home.
Right.
Sometimes it could be a neighbor. It can be an adoption. There's various ways in which the family becomes blended.
Yeah.
And when you see a child who feels like they're not getting, because a lot of it is subjective, right? When we're talking about how much love we're getting, it can be subjective.
Very subjective.
But the problem that happens is, if that kid is coming from a previous relationship or a previous marriage into a new home, what abandonment issues are they feeling that we're not even considering, that maybe that kid needs a little more love for their cup to be full than even what your kids may get? So sometimes it's really important to understand that. I always tell parents, if you're raising each one of your, you have three children and you're raising them all the same, somebody's not getting something that they need. Right? So we have to make sure that we're having those conversations with the kid. Okay, well, you feel like you're not getting enough. What can we do a little more to make you feel like you're a part of the family?
That's good. You know, you said something that was really dynamic and just brain thought that came to my mind. Sometimes when those dynamics do take place, those blended families or whatever takes place to force that blend, there's almost like a cookie cutter approach, right? That is like forcing a norm and not realizing that this child or children have gone through some traumatic event and just picking up where they have been dropped and moving them forward into what people feel is norm. That can be devastating to a child. And sometimes you can't track that until you start to see the behaviors of that child. So what's your thoughts about that? When is it appropriate that if a family is blending in any way, that counseling is needed? When is that appropriate, or is it appropriate at a particular time?
Well, I would definitely say it's appropriate.
Yes.
I think it's all, the short answer is yes, it's appropriate.
Are you saying to church people that counseling is appropriate?
Oh, yes. God.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
And you don't have to wait until there's a problem, you know, that's just glaring to do that or to initiate that.
Yeah.
But I think that, like you said, not having that expectation that everything is just going to jump into this, you know, set way of being and it's going to be perfect, and having an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah.
You have to recognize that things are going to be different. You know, there are going to be shifts, there are going to be changes, everybody's adjusting, and you may need someone else to come and help you to kind of navigate that and figure that out. And I also wanted to kind of back up and say that from the parent's perspective, that idea of kind of how you're treating and working with the different blended dynamics, it is absolutely normal to have some preference and affinity for your biological child.
Wow, that's deep.
Really? Okay. That's natural. You maybe have raised that child for 10 years, you know, as your biological child, and then now you have other people coming in. That's natural. It doesn't mean that it shifts how you treat that person, but I think it's okay to recognize that you might have a different affinity or affection or love for your biological child.
Now that's deep. Wow.
So we keeping it real, right?
Yeah.
We keeping it real. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, let's be honest, we have three or four children. We got one kid out of the three or four that we like a little more than the others, right? Right? So the reality is, you're going to naturally have that affinity because that's your child. You gave birth to that child.
Yeah.
That is your baby, you know. And so there's an understanding that you may be a little overprotective in those situations because you don't want to see your kid hurt. I think what I always try to get people to understand is the reason why counseling becomes so important, because let's break down some of those traditions or some of those ways that may get in the way of us growing together as a family.
Yeah.
Because you had your relationship over there, I had mine over here, but we have to create one that works for us in here.
Absolutely.
Right? So we always tell people, we pray and go see a professional, right?
Right.
We can have both. We can have prayer
and counseling.
And counseling. And that becomes important. But that natural affinity, I mean, naturally we're going to have that connection with our children.
I have a question.
Go ahead. No, this is powerful conversation. So tag a friend, share right now, man. This is really good. Go ahead.
I had a question. So you're going to have that natural affinity, like you said. How does that translate over to the other parent? And between, how can I explain it? So you become very, you know, my child, always tell people, it's our children. as long as we love each other. We're getting along and be like, well, for the kids and our family. And then when you mad at each other and be like, let me tell you what's not going to happen with my child. It goes to my, right? How does that you have translate to the other parent where it's like, I'm not trying to slight you or your child that you brought into the situation, but it is my child. And I do tend to make differences or have more love or
because of that
swing
affinity.
More of that way. You know, I know a lot of dads that's just like, you have to understand with my child, they're not with me all the time. Maybe they come with me every other weekend, so I try to do more for them. And you know what that's I mean? True. How do you yeah. explain that and help the child and the other parent?
I have a thought, but I don't want to.
Go ahead.
Well, you get over it, Dr. Evans. Get over it.
No, I think that, so it sounds like you're talking about the marriage or the relationship dynamic. That's a part of it as well. And so I think kind of starting from the beginning of that relationship and having those conversations very early on about how are you going to parent? You know, how are we going to communicate about our parenting? How do you normally do things? And having that before you get to that point of that, well, this is my child. And then also recognizing, I would say, in a new relationship that you might split those roles differently.
Mm-hmm.
So a new, let's say, stepfather coming into a situation mm-hmm. and he's trying to be the disciplinarian,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. day one.
Oh, no,
that's not going to work.
Gonna work. Yeah.
Right. No. And then you get into that, my child, you're not going to do this. Mm-hmm. So even having kind of a step back approach, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, in the beginning might be helpful to kind of feel things out and kind mm-hmm. of see, well, how do I navigate this? How does this child need to be disciplined? I think you were saying earlier, if you're treating everybody the same, then good. Somebody's missing out.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. So yeah. mm-hmm. you might have to take a step back and figure out what works. But I think that communication at the beginning is going to be key.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's big.
I like it.
Yeah, the communication point, I mean, look, we could talk about that that's all day, every day, because
subject, right?
because that's mm-hmm. important, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes that communication is extended to your children. Let's sit down and talk about what's going to happen, right? We have a new kid that's in a home.
Yeah.
You know, little Kevin's going to come live with us.
Yeah.
And little Kevin is not used to the rules. He's not used to how we do things. So we may be a little more patient with a little Kevin.
Yeah.
I need you to be. To go.
I need you to be a leader, right? I need you to be a leader
yes.
for little Kevin so he can get with the program a lot sooner because he's looking to you guys right. to model the right behaviors.
Right.
So sometimes as parents, we empower our children in that area in those conversations. But then the two adults have to have that talk.
Right.
I like that's you said, good. Modeling. That modeling the behavior.
Yep. You know, one of the things, and we're going to go to the next question, but one of the things that Lady K and I find in blended family is sometimes the overprotection of the children. Overprotection meaning that, you know, the child can do no wrong, right? Or because these are my original set of kids, I have to oversee and make sure. And it gets to a point of overprotection. And then as time goes on, we see the handicap of those children mm-hmm. because of the overprotection. And then the parent is just like, what do I do?
Yeah.
Pray for me. No, we gonna pray for you. You should have stopped that foolishness when we were telling you. But it happens, and I get the natural part of it. So how do you get a parent, and not saying that it's wrong, right? It's natural. How do you get a parent to understand that protection is good, but overprotection can be crippling?
Pastor, you talking to some people, right? I mean, I don't know who you're talking to. You're talking to some people, right?
No, I'm not talking to. But it happens.
It happens.
Yes, it does.
It's key. It's good to understand that for the most part, fathers prepare, mothers protect.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, that's
so
good.
There's always going to be a balance in what we see and how we're raising our kids.
Yeah.
I have a 7-year-old. Me and my wife, you know, we've been together 15 years yeah. before. We had a kid, so yeah. we had a way of doing things.
Yeah.
Well, once the kid get here, it's like, okay, son, you want to climb up a tree? You want to climb over a
right.
fence? Have at it, right? Well, when your mom pulls up, you jump out of there. I think that sometimes as parents, we have to recognize, have we healed? Have we worked on ourselves
right.
so that we are not trying to overcompensate for what we did, what we hey, didn't get in
wow.
our lives
wow.
growing up in our children?
Wow. Ooh.
Because if we are, they're young adults.
Yes.
We're preparing
right.
them for adulthood.
Yeah.
They're going to be adults a lot longer than their kids.
Yes. Right.
But if we're keeping them from learning how to clean up their own room or take care of themselves, then we're handicapping them as adults. And then they come into our offices and they're complaining about their 26-year-old son who still lives with them. But then I ask them, well, did you prepare him to live on his own?
Right.
Did you force him to learn how to cook for himself? Because let's be real, let's be honest, we do a really good job of making sure our daughters are prepared to go out in the world right. and take care of themselves. Black women are the strongest people in the world.
Yes, they
are. Know how to go out there and do everything.
Yes. Yes.
But us black men, sometimes we're lacking because we're not doing it the way our moms want us to do it. Yeah. So they're going to do it for us. Mm-hmm. And then they do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to offend nobody, though. I'm just a visitor.
You ain't going to offend nobody.
The ways to give an offering are...
right there on the screen.
Goodness. Jeez.
Cash out.
That was so Venmo. Good. It's... preparing them to go into the world.
Okay. Do we have a question for the audience yet?
No, but we got some everybody, amens.
They got
I know.
Some amens.
Clapping. Yes. Wow.
Wow. Okay. So let's move into this next one, right? So baby mama drama. Okay. Or baby daddy drama. It can go both ways. Yeah. It can go both ways, right? So how do you navigate and still keep peace for yourself and in your home, especially if you moved on? Mm-hmm. We see that a lot. Mm-hmm. Couples have moved on. And it always happens when the person finally moves on and somebody has somebody in their lives. That's when the hell breaks loose.
When the drama starts.
It's almost like reality hits them. Boom. Mm-hmm. She gone. He gone. Baby, y'all been gone. Yes.
But I think it's psychological.
Mm-hmm.
It just cements it. Where it's just like, they're real. gone. Like, you're gone, but then there's a gone.
I can't believe you're moving on. So how do you navigate that in a blended family situation? I heard you guys say talking about that up front, and that is something that we try to encourage, especially if we know that a couple's dating, they're getting serious about each other, and especially if they get to marriage counseling at this ministry, right? Have you talked about that dynamic? How are you going to handle that? How's the baby mama's personality? How's the baby daddy's personality? Do they understand, right? Do they know? And as much as we try to say that till our tongues are hanging out of our mouths, people still don't have those conversations, or they have abstract conversations so they can pass the marriage counseling session so they get married. Mm-hmm. And then that is the first thing waiting for them is the drama of that outside entity. So how would you guys recommend families or couples to pursue and move forward in that area?
One thing I would say is to be specific. So it sounds like you're given like the general idea of the communication is important, but it's helpful to be as specific as you possibly can.
Good.
So when that comes to communicating with that ex person, how does that communication look?
Yeah.
You know, what is that communication about? Is it that we only communicate as it relates to the well-being of our child? Is it that we communicate by phone once a week?
Yeah.
Do we, you know, what boundaries do you need to set? That's important. Getting with the current person to understand what their boundaries are. Like, are they not, should they not contact you after 10 o'clock at night?
That's good.
You know, is that necessary? Or, you know, if it relates to the children, is that okay? Being as specific, I think, as you can in those conversations will then prevent you from having those pitfalls later on.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, I would piggyback. I think, you know, that's why.
Got laughter out there. Somebody going through out there.
That's why.
Don't call me, I'll call you.
Yes.
That's why co-parenting becomes so important, right? Because obviously our relationship didn't work, but we still have to figure out how to do this parenting thing together.
Right.
And understanding that, you know, neurobiologically, we're not meant to be alone.
Right.
So at some point, we're going to be back in a relationship,
that's
right?
Good.
And, you know, men tend to move on a lot faster than women after divorce. Statistically, women wait about 10 months after divorce before they start dating again. Yeah. Men wait about a month, right? So when you have these situations, you have men who are now engaged and probably back dating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's some trauma from the previous relationship, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I've been hurt. You've hurt me.
Yeah.
And now I have my son or my child that I weaponized in that relationship. Because if you hurt me, why would I give you access to the thing that's most precious to my heart?
Wow.
So you can hurt them too.
That's right.
Right? So what I'm trying to do is, you think I'm trying to keep the kid away from you. No, I'm trying to keep my kids safe because my maternal instinct says I'm going to do it. And then we men can be petty too. Because sometimes we are the custodian of the kid.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And now, you didn't listen to me in our relationships, and now you got to run everything through me. Yeah. And I think what we have to understand is, how is that affecting the child?
That's the bottom line, right?
Weaponized, yes. Mm-hmm.
Y'all, this can't be the season finale. We gonna have to.
And I think we talked about that last podcast. Did. You didn't even know, but we talked about the dynamic of the hurt person using the child as a weapon.
Yep. Hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Oh, my God. But what we didn't unpack was the fact that I'm trying to keep my child safe.
Safe, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. That's a different perspective.
And in some situations, that might be adaptive. Depending on what that situation was.
Wow.
So if you really are in that situation, you might have to really be keeping your child safe. So I think you have to be able to distinguish between the difference, you know, of the two. That might take some counseling to kind of understand, you know, where you're coming from, why you might be making those moves with that. But just considering that.
Because a person could be a horrible boyfriend, a horrible husband, but a great father.
Mm-hmm. Wow. True.
But in your mind, all you see is the horror.
Yeah.
All you see is the horror. Right. You know? Yeah. So why would I, you know, so that that adaptive skill sometimes can be something that is necessary, and sometimes it could be something that's in your mind.
Wow.
So then how do you help your incoming significant other, spouse, whatever it may be, if you were not, let's just say your relationship didn't work out with your ex, your baby mama, your baby's father, whichever one, and they're just being vindictive. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do. It's just, you moved on. I'm upset about it. I don't want you to be happy. I can't believe this happened. Right. And so what do you do with the other person coming in? Because it can cause a lot of friction, because I feel like sometimes, especially more so what I've seen, men will overcompensate. And the women are just like, why are you doing all that? You know, or why are you sacrificing us? Yeah, or why is it? And it's just, you don't understand. I've got to be there for my child, this and that. And they're over there like, I get that. But you're not striking any boundaries, balance, nothing. Right. I'm just here. Mm-hmm. What do you do? How do you make them comfortable too?
Mm-hmm. I think what you said, there have to be boundaries. I think you have to be willing to have that conversation. If that's the person you're choosing to be with, then you're making a commitment to them. And not to that ex, right? So you have to really kind of know where your loyalty lies and who the person is that you're committed to at this point, and be willing to make that sacrifice. But I think it's having that kind of communication up front and letting that new person be a part of that decision making of how and kind of what you're going to do to communicate or have that co-parenting relationship. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you're married to someone else, you have vows with them.
Right.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm with that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, I always tell people, look, and I hate to bring this up because it's usually a last resort, but there is this thing called family court. Right. If I got to go out my way just
applause,
to see my kid.
Applause. Mm-hmm. Applause.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Cue the applause.
I'm telling you, there's a time and a place for under the heavens. There is a season. Yeah.
Family
go ahead.
Court.
Yeah. There's this thing that, you know, I think sometimes in our community, we don't want to involve the people in our business. And I understand, because our relationship with the people is not. Is not very trustworthy.
Yeah.
But in certain situations, there is laws out there that can give you access to your child without having to go through the hoops and all the things that you need to. And sometimes you need to figure out, is this a situation where me and my ex need to go and talk to a counselor to do some co-parenting?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this a situation where we need to go and sit down with a mediator and we need to figure out some boundaries? When can I pick them up? When I can't? When can I pick my child up? How often? What are we doing about money?
Yeah.
All those things. Because sometimes the headache
of
trying to deal with somebody who doesn't like you as a person anymore.
Right.
It can easily be relieved. It's like a Tylenol. You go down there and you just pay the money, you get it resolved.
Right.
Sometimes you got to pay money for peace.
Hey, yes, absolutely.
You know, peace will cost you a little something.
Absolutely.
You know,
I will pay for my peace.
I will pay for my peace. I will pay and pray for my peace.
Thank you for revelation, Lord. You know, because at some point, it becomes psychologically damaging to both parties, going back and forth, idle threats, real threats, and all those other things. At some point, you're damaged as a parent that you really can't invest in your children, right? Or when you're investing in your children, right, you're really bleeding over them because you're bloody from battle. So I agree. There's a point, in my opinion, as a pastor, where there needs to be some type of mediation that takes place. And if the mediation is through counseling, great. But then if counseling breaks down and there's still a problem, then there is the legal system that needs to be. Our problem is we don't like to pay for it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's necessary. Well, I didn't even know there was
rims in that bag, though.
Right.
Those rims in that bag.
Right. Right.
Will. And I watched a show on HBO Max called In Treatment. That was the first time I saw a couple come. They were divorcing, but coming for co-parenting counseling. I was like, that's a thing? It's a blast.
I always say couples counseling does not mean that the end result will mean you stay together.
Right.
It could mean that
you leave. You have to depart, right? And not we're not advocating for divorce for those of you that are saying that. we're saying get help, right? Yes. Get help so you can come to conclusions where you need to be at. So we're not advocating for divorce. Right. We support marriage. We want everybody to remain married. But there is a certain thing that you have to do that can come through counseling that can give you some relief on how do we move forward. And the other thing about co-parenting is, and we've suggested this to people that we've counseled with before, is that, you know, making sure that you're specific and knowing that you're going for co-parenting and not relationship building the relationship back. Right. There has to be a difference. Right. Because some people... Pastor C is clapping. You've been through something, huh? You've been through.
Like, no, to testify.
Right.
Okay, 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 okay. Any questions out there? Any comments, feedback? Everybody just enjoy it. Go ahead. We got some feedback from the audience. And we got a question from email form, too.
Yes, I think. Okay. I'll pull it up.
Hey, y'all. So I feel like parents, because I've been through that where my parents, they were together and then they divorced and we became a blended family.
Yeah.
And the thing is, parents have to realize that you have to self-evaluate yourself, and communication is the key, you know, to a lot of things. Yeah. And I begin to see, like, you know, with my dad, when his stepkids, he began to praise them more than he praised us.
Wow.
And so he began to tell them, you know, good job in life and things of that nature, but he never done that with us. And then the conflict with him and my mom, it was always a tassel because instead of them focusing on the children, they were busy arguing about what they've been through in their past, even though they had already moved on. And they have to realize, some parents have to realize that your target is your baby dad or stuff or your baby mother, but you're trying to hurt them, but you're hurting the children.
Wow.
And so I kind of grew up with burdens of that because it puts you in a place of confusion, because then we begin to fault ourselves because of their breakup and things that they done, you know, and then it began to cause us to detour in different ways because that communication and that love that we need wasn't there because they were so busy focused on each other and the things that they've been through and what caused the separation. So I feel like personally with parents that if they get to a place of maturity and understanding and knowing that, you know, that it's not about, you know, we have to get to a place where we know that it's about our kids. You know, and we have to be mature enough to say, okay, look, we can't do this in front of this, and we can't, you know, allow certain things to happen. We have to get to that place to where we say, hey, you know, it's about, you know, a mutual agreement, you know, and things of that nature.
That is good stuff. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That is really good stuff. I really don't want to shift from here because that was like, I feel like I can piggyback off of Toya all day. I want to go to this next topic, though, because this was something that we started talking about, and then it got a lot of buzz. It got a lot of buzz, and a lot of people started having conversations online and in our church and through chats and everything else. But that topic was around rethinking and reprogramming. Mm-hmm. And it was some great questions that came from CJ and the guys. When is it time to apologize to your child? when is it appropriate to apologize to your child? And I think that can be from a blended family relationship, or it can be from the original structure. When is it time to apologize to a child, or is it appropriate to apologize to the child? You do what I say do. Whenever I say do it. Yeah, I think
or CJ.
I definitely feel like it is appropriate to apologize. Yeah. And I feel like the timing to apologize is when you feel that you had control of a situation and you dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. Right? A situation could have handled it one way, positively or negatively. Mm-hmm. And for some reason it wasn't handled in a positive reinforcement the child saw it.
That's good.
Right? Mm-hmm. So at that time, you need to say, hey, listen, I dropped the ball. They may not even understand what that means coming from a parent.
Yeah.
Right? What do you mean you apologize?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I dropped the ball. This was my fault. I should have not allowed this to go this far.
Yeah.
I apologize.
That's good, bro.
At every opportunity.
Mm-hmm. This is tough. Oh.
We got one. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Pastor, I would like to comment on that one I found myself, especially I had my children kind of younger, you know, in my 20s.
You're not on screen, they telling me.
Okay, you're going to need to
slide.
I'm sorry.
Slide over. Slide over. Slide over.
I like to comment on that one because I found myself having my children in my early 20s. I had my kids, and I was working through my own stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I would always that I had to really work on was my articulation, and you guys hear me talk about it all the time, and my anger. Yeah. So I would catch myself mid sentence. And I would tell my children, oh, sorry, let me rewind. Let me say that differently. Let me back up. Daddy didn't say that right. I didn't say that. That's not how I mean that. I would find myself, as soon as I recognized the error, I was quick to apologize. Because I wanted to be that example of, look, even I'm not too big to make a correction. And right. So, and even to this day, my children now are 26 and 21. They still talk about that. Even now, we talk about that often. About Dad, one thing about you were always, quick to address if I saw an error, because I wanted them to know that while I am an example, I'm not perfect.
Yes,
I'm striving for perfection, but even I make a mistake. But I want you to know that I'm not going to glass over it.
Yes.
And secondly, I'm not going to lie about it. If I'm telling you to tell the truth, and I expect the truth from you, then I need to make sure I give you the truth.
Yeah,
that's good.
Mm-hmm. Doctors, y'all weigh in now.
He said it. I mean, I feel like he hit the nail on the head. But I'm going to say this is tough because I don't know about you all, but I think most of us weren't raised in situations where our parents
apologized. That sounds amazing. To her,
right? No. My daddy, I love him to death. He watching right now. But my daddy apologizes now for things. And I think that's just growth for him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He apologized. Yeah, I didn't show you this. I didn't do this. Right. And I'm like, dang, that's pretty. That's cool. You know what I'm saying? And my mom is the type of person. Anything that was bad that you learned here, you leave it here. Anything that was good, you take it out there.
Right. It's always a justification.
Right. But she apologizes too, but she also gives us that disclaimer. So I'm grateful for them because it gives me perspective and it gives me that boldness to be able to do it too as well. I apologize to my 4-year all the time. He called me this, he told me this morning, you mean, Daddy, I'm sorry for being me, but you have to wake up and go to school.
Right.
So what are y'all perspectives besides what you've heard so far? When is it appropriate to apologize? Is it appropriate to apologize? And speak to generations, because to your point, I don't think all of us was raised in that generation. It was we were raised in a generation, you do as I say.
Right. Mm-hmm. And don't ask.
Don't ask no questions.
Right. And so I think it definitely is, it can be appropriate. Anytime you have done something that you would not want your child to repeat.
Good.
So you are modeling behaviors in a relationship, in any relationship. You're teaching them how to engage and interact with other people. And so anytime you've done something where you would not want them to repeat that, I think it's okay to apologize. And you're not taking back, like you said, you still have to do the things that you have to do. You're not taking that away. You might be apologizing for the approach or the tone or the anger that came with it that wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
And you're modeling that behavior for them. But I think it's important. I'm not perfect. I have a, you know, my 6-year-old, you know, he did something today at school and I was like fuming on the way out. I was like, we'll talk about it. You have time to get the truth together. By the time I get home, but I'm trying to contain. Lindsay was like, you handle it because I can't. And so just being aware of how I'm interacting and engaging, it's hard, but you know, if we do mess up, we are trying to be intentional to say, you know what, my fault, you know, that wasn't appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, as a parent, sometimes we apologize and just because it makes our kids feel better, right? Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, sometimes as a father, I'm not apologizing for the things that I've done. I'm apologizing for something that's happened to my kid outside of my protection.
Gotcha.
You know, because I told my son a long time ago, I have a responsibility to protect and provide for you mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So in aspects of that, you know, we apologize because our kids, because an apology lives forever in your kid's brain.
Yeah.
They know that as a parent, you're not perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when they know you're not perfect, then they're more likely to come to you with their imperfections, with questions. So an apology is important because you let your kids know, hey, I make mistakes too.
Yeah.
We live in a hey Google world, right?
Yeah.
My son, he will ask me a question and then he will ask Google. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I was wrong on that. I'm like, you know, son, my apologies, I was wrong. Daddy gave you some bad information,
right? Yeah, yeah.
You know, back in the day, our parents would have been like, well, Google don't know nothing.
That's right. They don't know what they're talking about.
You know? It's a devil.
So we just apologize sometimes for that to give our kids that sense of comfort.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But why don't they? I've never figured that out. Let me go past just my mother. I would say anybody probably 55 and older that I know closely, they don't even apologize to each other.
Yeah.
They can fall out, do each other wrong. They'll never say, forgive me for that. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Didn't handle that right. So I really don't expect for them to say it to us, but I've always wondered, just out of curiosity, what happened to that generation where it's just like, whatever you do at the end of the day, don't apologize to a soul. I don't even know if they ask the Lord for forgiveness. They don't apologize to nobody. And you know, their version of let's get it right, just striking up a conversation. I made a post about that. Just move on. Like, I made peach cobbler. You want some?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Ma'am, we didn't. Wait, you know, apologize to your child? It's foreign.
I think we got to get that generation in here to talk about it.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they can only explain it, but it is. It's a different pendulum.
Darwin's theory, survival of the fittest, of the strongest, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, our parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents, they were raised in areas where they had to be strong.
Yeah.
They couldn't leave out their communities without having a sense of security removed from them.
Yeah,
so an apology sometimes for them was viewed as a weakness, right? And I can't be weak in this environment, right? Because if I'm weak, you're going to pick on me,
right?
So they had to always be strong.
Wow.
And that has led to not feeling like I need to apologize. Because if I apologize, I admit I did something wrong.
Right.
If I did something wrong, then that means I have a weakness. And if I have a weakness, that's something that you can take advantage of. Mm-hmm. So that we are in a generation now where we know better, so we do better.
Yeah.
But they were in a generation where they had to be as strong as they can because they were dealing with some serious outside threats outside the community.
And outside of the home
that were dangerous.
Sense. That makes sense.
That's true.
We've got something in the audience. I'm sorry. Y'all been holding for a minute now. What's going on out there? Question, feedback.
Yeah, so I had a situation where my daughter and I, we went out to, I think it was a trampoline park.
Uh-huh.
And a situation happened where she got really frustrated when we were in the car. And we were all in the car, and she said, she just talked back.
Yeah.
And instinctively, I said, don't talk back, you know, because that's what my mom did to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was kind of like I went on and, you know, I went to work and everything else, and literally the Lord convicted me. Like, and so I think it's at your own conviction.
Yeah.
I said, I was wrong.
Wow.
She was talking back. But she's 5, and that's her way of expressing herself.
Yeah.
So all she was trying to do was say, Daddy, I just want you to listen to me, not tell me to shut up on how I express myself to you. Mm-hmm. So I had to go back and say, Zoe, I am so sorry. You remember when Daddy told you to be quiet? Oh. You know, and I had to literally apologize to her, and she's just looking at me like, you know. So I think it's really, it made me feel, it freed me.
good.
To say, you know what, I was wrong. I'm not going to raise my daughter in the sense of she cannot express herself. Right. Although our parents kind of had a different approach. Uh-huh. But this go round, I said, I can't do my baby like that because she got to be able to communicate.
Man, yeah, that is awesome. You know, parenting, and AP, thank you for sharing that. Sometimes, and I think it's just skill, you know, learning a skill. And skill is just developing muscle and having tools. But we see some parenting that's parenting by intimidation, right? Mm-hmm. And what are the effects of that when you parent by intimidation? What happens? I know what I've seen, but, you know, what does that brew?
You and your brothers start a singing group.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Let's not even go down that path. Not my brothers.
I don't know if I can
not
say
my
the,
brothers. She talk about a song group. No. We're not going
Everybody
there.
Everybody says Joe no, was strict no, no, on the no, boys. No, no, and they went straight to fame, didn't they? Did they go to fame? Intimidation, Pastor.
Oh, my God. All right. Intimidation, like parented by intimidation. What's the risk factors in that? What could be the outcome? Anybody.
The first thing I think of is the impact on their self-esteem and their self-worth, their ability to problem solve, to work through things, I think can be impacted if everything is like done out of fear. They don't have the ability to learn how to make decisions.
That's good.
Pastor, if I can have a real candid moment.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm still not in the frame. You know, for me, Pastor, here I am at the age that I am.
Yeah.
And me and my brother had a conversation a few months back. I asked him the question. I says, brother, I said, do you still have nightmares about, you know, all the stuff that we went through? Do you ever wake up and have nightmares? Wow. He says, I absolutely do.
Wow.
I only say that to say this, not to put my business in the street.
Yeah.
But fear does not work because of all the damage it leaves behind.
Wow.
To be at the age that I am now and still having nightmares about things that happened in my childhood, that is a tragedy.
Wow.
So fear, the cost, you want respect. Not fear. And that is two separate different things, two separate ends of the spectrum. And so what does fear do? Man, it does so many things. You really have to regroup and retrain your mind and retrain how you see things. And I mean, if it's fear coming from whichever, whether it's male or female, how you view that sex now, you have to learn how to see that differently. And so it's just, it does so much. There's so many ways that it could do damage. But I only put that out there, like I said, because you don't want a parent. I don't want a parent through fear. Yeah. I don't want my child. I mean, if you ever witness waking a child up out of sleep and they're jumpy and they're panicky, and, you know, that's how I was in my 20s and my 30s, still trying to come out of stuff that happened from childhood. So that's the damage that it leaves.
Wow.
This is why I love these conversations and I love people at this church, because we're not afraid to share our experiences, and that's how we heal, right? That's how we heal. It's one thing to come and sing and shout and dance, and those are great expressions of faith, right? We love it. But getting down to what's causing me to think this way, what's causing me to react this way, what's causing me to behave this way, and even at an age where it's just like, I should be over this right now. So thank you for sharing that, and thank you for all of you that made this a great community, because there are people out here that have those experiences and no one to talk to. And sometimes the church can be somewhat of a help, right, but then also a hindrance, because masking things just comes to surface at some point. So I really appreciate the transparency and everything that you all share, and kudos and blessings to all of you. And thank you, Pastor Cooley, for sharing that. The last question I have, because I just got a few more minutes, is around the rethinking and reprogramming is traditions, right? What traditions have expired in parenting? There may be some that has expired. There's some that may not have expired. What do parents need to let go?
you are to be seen and not heard.
Wow.
The greatest gift you can give your child is a voice.
Right.
Right. The ability to advocate for themselves, stand up for themselves. You know, we want to create leaders in this world, not followers.
Right.
Absolutely. Where when you mute someone, you take away their voice, you make them a follower. Wow. Now they're looking for somebody to lead them in a direction because their voice has never had any value.
Wow.
So when you give your kids an opportunity to ask questions, to talk to you, to let you know how they feel, let you know what's on their mind,
yeah.
they're learning to advocate for themselves.
Yeah.
And that's going to make a difference when they're on that playground. That's going to make a difference when their friends pull up Absolutely. In the car and say, hey, man, you want to get in this car, but it got a screwdriver in ignition.
Right.
Yeah. That's going to make a difference when their friends are trying to pass them drugs and substances wow. because they have an ability to make the choice for themselves.
Wow.
So when you're telling your kids to be seen and not heard,
yeah.
you're taking away their ability to learn to speak and advocate for themselves,
yeah.
and you're making them a follower.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Gee, that is good. So wait a minute. How do you help to foster them making their own decisions, because we do make them for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I try to make them for my 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. He's four. He tries to make a lot of his own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell him I'm the parent, right? But mm-hmm. how do I foster it where he knows, okay, I can still reason and make a good decision?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say something that I try to be intentional. I have a 6-year-old, as I said,
mm-hmm.
Is I give options that I know I'm okay with, wow. right?
Okay.
And then let him choose from that.
Right.
So I might say, you know, what would you like for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that there's yeah. some options available, and any of those options that he chooses, I'm fine with because I got it or it's easy.
That's good.
And it's he's getting that sense of autonomy. He's contributing to things, and he's able to share his opinions and thoughts. So I'm
good.
Not saying
that's
you're
good.
You know, this is your world is your oyster. Let's go, you know, wherever you want to go, but
in these parameters.
Options, in these parameters.
You are helping me.
That's right. Because AJ hollered, where's the Canes?
And I'm like, I could do.
We need to give him some options.
We'll give him some options. Mm-hmm.
And they can be controlled options. There's option A, B, C, D. We have Raising Cane's, McDonald's, or Taco Bell. Which mm-hmm. one you want? Right?
And
all of them you are okay with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You guys talked about fear previously, and yeah. you know, fear is debilitating.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fear puts you in a situation where you become stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the best thing that we can give our kids is an opportunity to take chances,
mm-hmm.
to fail, but to fail forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So yes. they take a chance, it doesn't work out, and then they learn, and then they go do it again, and then they do it again, and then finally they get it right.
Wow.
Because Master. When we do it for them, mm-hmm. or when we make them scared of things that they shouldn't be afraid of,
yeah.
right?
So good.
Now they take that at 17, 27, 37, 47, 57.
Nice.
So wow. we have to put them in situations where my son's like, Daddy, I'm scared of spiders. Okay, let's go find some spiders.
Wow.
You don't need to be scared of spiders.
Yeah.
Let's expose you to that thing
yeah.
so you don't have this fear, right? Finally exiting average realities. Fear.
Yeah.
You finally want to exit that those fears that people have that make them average
now
because they're afraid of taking those steps. Finally exiting average realities.
Now
that's adults way, that can like use that.
Yeah, that's way better than false evidence appearing
oh, yeah.
real.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is good.
There
are adults that can use that.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I don't mm-hmm. like that. I don't even like when people try to instill fear in AJ. That's my son.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell him, you know, no, please, no, please, oh God, please, but no,
leave
let him.
Alone.
He might fall.
Let him
fall.
So he can learn how
he's gonna learn. And what he does, he has fallen sometimes. He comes back. He won't stop.
He won't stop.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna sit and think about it. What did I do wrong? I think it's because I put my foot a little too far to the left,
mm-hmm.
and I let him figure it out.
Right.
I don't want him scared.
Mm-hmm.
That is so good.
Exactly.
Did we have a question in the audience?
You know, actually, Pastor, this reminds me of a conversation that Minister AP and I had earlier this week.
Yeah.
And we were talking about fear, but as the fear that we were given for, you know, the old school, God's going to kill you and God's going to get you. And you know that. It's amazing.
You're going to hell.
Yes.
Tonight.
You know, God didn't kill you in your mess, but he's going to kill me in mine. You know,
yes.
No grace. You know, and it goes right back. You know, I know we were talking about in a parenting and in the natural sense, but it also relates to us in spiritually.
Right.
That fear, one of the things the doctor just said is debilitating. Man, how is that same thing with us in our relationship with God?
Mm.
That's good.
So we got 5 minutes.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Got a question, Pastor.
Yeah, go ahead. Please, please, please. We've got a feedback from email. I want to see if we can try to get to it, too. Go ahead. Please do.
So when is it okay to let your kids bump their heads?
Oh. Mm.
So I got older kids, you know, 17, 18 years old, and they do stuff. Mm-hmm. You always want to come to the rescue, of course.
When their mama not watching.
Period. Right.
Oh my God.
I think that was a quick answer. When their mama not watching, that is. But mamas are, like you said, they're protectors.
They're protectors.
They're protectors. Mm-hmm. Okay, we had this feedback. Can we get to this from from
email?
You want
me to just pick one?
Yeah, just pick one. Let's try to cover it in the last few minutes we got.
I'll pick this one. Mm-hmm. Let's just say we'll pick from these two, and you can say which one.
Yeah.
So one was asking, when is it time to introduce someone to your kids? Because she said her dad was a widow, and 2 months later, he got engaged, and 4 months later, he was married. Right. Gotcha. So that's one. And then another one that I can throw out there is saying forced feelings. When it's Mother's Day, but she's 14, so it's like, she's not my mom. You want me to write her a card every time? She says, now that we're grown, he still calls and says, you don't know what I go through because you won't just send her a Mother's Day card. And she's like, but I don't like her like that. And I did it growing up because you made me, but I don't like her. And she's nothing like my mom. My mom was soft-spoken, yeah. And she says she walks loud. Right. So those y'all can choose from those two.
Let's do the one. When is it time to introduce? Mm-hmm. When is the appropriate time to introduce, especially after a major life change or a traumatic experience or a divorce or something? When is it time to introduce? I know it's varying.
Many variables to that. I think just depending on the age of the children. Mm-hmm. The way in which the separation happened, was it a death? Was it a divorce?
Yeah.
That's tough. I might have to kind of sit back and
think about
that.
Because for them in this situation, mm-hmm. she said they were 14 to 20 months.
Oh.
Yeah. And the dad's 40. Mm-hmm. The mom died mm-hmm. 2 months later. So I think she said that a portion of the reason she didn't like the new stepmom mm-hmm. was because she didn't trust fast. It. It seemed it fishy yeah. and yeah. suspicious mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
I think it's all in how you introduce someone. If you're saying, "Hey, this is Daddy's new girlfriend," and they just lost their mom, or there's a relationship that ended, then that can be tricky, right? That can be very confusing.
Yeah.
I think that I don't know if there's a exact time we talked about earlier. Men move on a lot faster than women.
Yeah.
But I think understanding your kids' level of maturity.
Yeah.
And being able to kind of get them used to, are ready and prepared to meet that person before they actually meet them.
Yeah.
You don't want them coming home from school and the new person is there.
Right.
Right.
Gotcha.
They're confused. Yeah. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Instead, hey, Daddy has a new friend.
Yeah.
You're going to get to meet her one day. Do you have any questions and mm-hmm. things of that nature? Maybe show a picture or things of that nature first.
Yeah. We'll
gradually expose them to something that may be a little difficult for them to adjust to. So I think it's really about understanding your kids' level of maturity and what they can handle. Some 12-year-olds can't handle it. Some 2-year-olds can.
Gotcha.
Right? It's understanding your kids' level of maturity.
What happens really quick in 1 minute, and what happens really quick when you take those approaches and the children is like, I ain't having it. Don't want it. Mm-hmm. Don't want to meet mm-hmm. this person, blah, mm-hmm. blah. When is it appropriate for the parent to draw the line to say that, hey, this is happening, right? Because like you said, you know, innate in us, we have to or want to be with someone mm-hmm. at some point in time. So when do you draw the line for that child? Yeah. And how do you draw it? Varying, right?
That, yeah. And I think maybe even kind of taking a step back as the parent, as the adult, and trying to understand why you are jumping into that relationship.
Yeah.
If you have that ability to kind of step back and have that insight, is this a companion for me? You know, or am I trying to do this? I can have someone to help me raise my kids. Like,
yeah.
What was the purpose, you know, in establishing that relationship? And I think, you know, if you've done all you can to try to gradually introduce, and you've vetted this person, and you know, mm-hmm. you know, to in your core and your being that this is a good person and this is right for you, you know, you might have to make that decision, but if it's going to be at the detriment of your children's well-being, that to me is really tough to justify. You know, you know, do you as an adult kind of take a step back and say, I'm going to take care of my children in this season?
Makes sense.
And then, you know, allow myself to move forward. I think you really have to just make that decision for yourself and who, you know, who are you taking care of right now?
So if it's what you're saying is, and I like what you're saying, if it's to the detriment of the child, not being overprotective and everything else, if you know this is going to be devastating to the child, it's probably a good idea to step back and say, hey, what's more important, right? The future of my children moving forward in a healthy way or my relationship that I just want right now? That's very deep and that's powerful.
That's good.
All right, guys, we are out of time. And I look, if you know there's someone that needs to watch this podcast, I want you to tag them. It's going to be on replay for free. You don't have to write us for tape 9920 and pay us for this. This is for free. You've got some free expert advice here. These people are careered in this, and we want to thank them for being with us on tonight. Great perspective. What we'll do online too, those our media team, let's get their information so they can have contact. Now, this is free, but their services that they may offer you are not. So you have to pay for your piece. So we want them to be able to be able to engage with you if they have the opportunities to do so. Don't forget about liking our page, Grace Community Church North Dallas. You can share it, like us, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube. You can catch everything that we've got going on here at the church. Don't forget about Collide, powerful, powerful conference that's coming up. It's going to be life-changing. Our speakers are on the screen right now. It's a registration. You have to register. Go to gccnd.org. Look for Collide registration. You can register there. Only a few slots left. I'm talking to you, Grace partners, too. There's only a few slots left for all access, and then everything else is general. And the registration deadline is coming up really soon. So you want to get involved. Don't wait. You're going to miss something very great and powerful.
And we're not live streaming Friday or Saturday.
We're not live streaming Friday or Saturday. The only live stream that will take place is on Sunday morning, our official 10 a.m. service, which is our final Collide service. So you've missed everything by that time. So you need to register to make sure that you're in the house and making sure that you can participate. Look, also, you can catch the replay of Revival from last week. Just go to our Facebook page. If you need a boost of energy, go check out our Revival. We had Bishop Brandon Jacobs that was with us, and it was awesome. So, look, until next time, we love you. This was our season finale, so our executive producer is going to be telling us where we're going next, him and Tony out there. And we want to say thank you for supporting us, and we will see you in our next podcast edition. Sorry, I always do that. I